Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, we are now streaming just about anywhere you would want to look. Of course, there's always the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. But now we are on both the TuneIn and iHeartRadio apps. You can also go to their website, stream us live anywhere as well. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to everyone. Back with us in the saddle. He, of course, is the host of VSiN's College Football, College Basketball Betting Podcast. You can hear him on VSiN Primetime, the VSiN Betting Tailgate Show, the VSiN Betting Guide to College Football is available. Go check it out now on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Hello, sir. Yeah, it's good to be back. Don't mind me just reliving the United States win over Serbia a year ago. Man, that game was awesome.
So Tim sent me that 1 year ago was the dramatic win over Serbia. Maybe during the second hour, perhaps during the list, we'll consider if that has been the best sporting event. It's the best sporting event since, or if it has been the best sporting event that we've seen in the last calendar year. So we'll discuss that. Also get into some more news from the world of sports. I think the dildo story now is officially the most 2025 story. Like, it's like a Mad Libs for like 2025, like WNBA, crypto, perhaps maybe some gambling implications. Like, it's all there. Get into that. Also, we've got an update about Doug Nussmeier's, about his knee.
Garrett.
Doug's his dad.
I was like,
Doug was
care
the
about
coach.
Might have OC?
Doug was the coach. Doug probably has a new knee.
Probably. Yeah.
Doug's probably like on a piece of plastic knee. So we'll get into that. Also, Neil McCready, my former boss, he's now moved over to 24/7 Sports. He is the publisher of the team site for Ole Miss over there, but you can also hear him every weekday on Blue Sky Live, also the McCready and Siski podcast, as well as like 15 other shows that he does. He's going to join us at 2:35 because Blake's on vacation. I know this week. I think maybe next week too.
He should be back next week.
I think he's back next week. Okay, but he was on vacation last week and this week, but Blake will rejoin us starting next week. But Neil's going to fill in. We'll talk some football with Neil, and we'll, of course, get into the list. Hour number two, we'll tell your story. We'll get out of here. But, Tim, we have to discuss, before we get into, I thought there was actually some interesting preseason stuff last night, and, like, no joke, I actually thought some of it was entertaining. But before we get into that, so right now over at the FedEx St. Jude Championship over at TPC Southwind, which is our event, Tommy Fleetwood is at 13 under. He is currently leading by four shots over Colin Morikawa, Akshay Bhatia, the kitty cat, Kurt Kitayama. What's Novak? Is it? I always said it this morning. I almost said BJ Novak. I was like, no, he's the writer.
It's not Tommy Novak. No, Tommy Novak's
Andrew?
A hockey player.
Andrew Novak. I was about to say, I think it's Andy Novak, but it's Andrew Novak. Yes. Justin Rose is also a shot or two. Justin Rose is in that 8-under core. They're 5 shots back. Scotty Scheffler fires 66 today. He is, I'll say, lingering 6 shots back at 7-under. Yeah, maybe it's more like loitering. Like Scotty's always got bad intentions, so you. It's a name that you just can't ignore. But the reason why I mention Tommy Fleetwood is I have to be very protective here because the real story is gambler in California is on absolute heater betting golf and in a state where gambling is illegal. But I have a friend who, starting with Keegan Bradley back at the Travelers, so this dates back to, I think that's the week after the U.S. Open. And I thought I had it linked to where, all right, so 2025 PGA Tour season. So if you go back to Keegan Bradley, all of these, by the way, are outright pre-tournament winners. He picked Keegan Bradley at 40-1, outright winner. The next week, he had Aldrich Pottgeiter at 100-1. He did not bet the John Deere, but on the Scottish Open, he had Chris Goddard also at 100-1. He picked Scotty Scheffler in like 8 different ways, but he also got Scotty at 6-1 to win the Open Championship. And then last week, I allegedly may or may not have been with him. He had Cameron Young at 70-1 as an outright winner. He then texts the group on Tuesday, and I want to make sure I have the exact right wording. What are you on? My book has Xander top 10 at plus 450, so I took that. For outrights, I have Xander, Fitz, and Tommy. Tim, hitting one 100-1 bet is something that you do maybe once in your lifetime, but I'm going to guess, have you ever hit one?
100-1?
Yes.
No, I don't think I've hit 100-1 before.
He's hit 2. He now has 25-1 on Tommy. This is how insane it is. I think the biggest odds that I've hit this year was Rory. I think Rory at the Masters, I think he was 12-1. Because I want to say I laid 50 and won 600. So I think he was 12-1.
I'm going to check my Rory because I had Rory too. I don't think I got that good of a number.
I think he was plus 1,200.
Sounds about right. Yeah, Rory, hold on. I'm in my thing.
You're in your slips.
There we go. I got him at plus 725, so you got him at a much better
I had him pretty
number.
Early. I bet him pretty early. So I'm not, I want to be clear. Like, he doesn't just pick one guy, but this is not somebody that's spraying the board. Like, he never has more than 3 or 4 picks. Pre-tournament, I have never seen anything like this. Like, to hit the fact that we're talking about a 6-1 winner as literally like, it's just like a, you know, I didn't really feel too good about Sunday Night Football. I didn't really want to lay 7, so I just played the money line small. Like, we're acting like it's that. It was still 6-1. And also, this is not a heater where it's just like, oh, he's just betting Scotty every week. He has multiple 100-1 winners. It is such an insane heater that if he were to hit Tommy Fleetwood this week, it's going to feel like it was boring, like no big deal, moving on at 25-1.
Sometimes the ball just looks like a beach ball, you know?
So Dan Katz from Barstool, I think during college basketball, I think he hit 16 straight bets.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
This to me is way more impressive. I think it's almost to the point where it's so difficult to comprehend. Like, each one of these bets almost individually would be like the bet that you'd remember for a next decade. Like, I famously one time didn't know what I was doing betting the horses when American Pharoah won the Derby. And instead of getting a $2 ticket, I made it a $20 ticket. And so when Pharoah crosses the line, and we had an exacta and a trifecta, instead of winning like a couple $100, I won a couple grand. I immediately went and spent it on a golf trip. But like, that's one that I remember. That is still nothing like this. I mean, it's insane.
I'm jealous.
But it's also one of those things where I almost don't want to tail him because you don't want to put your juju. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know it has, you know what I mean? Like, it's his heater. Like, I'm not trying to steal his thunder. Like, I don't want to, and you don't want to be the guy that ends the heater. To me, this is no different. See if you agree with this. When there's a group of people at the blackjack table and a seat opens up, do you wait for them to finish the shoot or do you sit down?
I'm not a great person to ask.
I know you don't play a ton of blackjack.
I probably would just sit down.
Okay, but I am the guy that's like, you know what I mean? Because there's something about it. It's like, I want it to be fresh. I don't want to be able. It's more of, it's probably protective. Like, there's probably some type of self-preservation there where you don't want to be the reason that everybody starts losing. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
But, I mean, this is just an absolute heater. Now, it's also, I want to be very clear. Tommy Ladd is not exactly the world's greatest closer.
No, he's not.
This is a man, like, part of the reason, like it would be hilarious to me, though. I think, though, this is another angle I just thought about. Even adding to the incredible, like, just the amount of outright winners he's picking, if he also had Keegan Bradley, who won in the Travelers because Fleetwood couldn't make a putt, and couldn't close the door, and then he hops in on the back end and takes Fleetwood to win when nobody wanted Fleetwood to win. Like, that makes it even more insane to me. Like, he's just seeing the board.
Now, are you nervous that, as we discuss this on a Friday afternoon, that you may be mushing your boy?
No, I told him, I go, I'm now going up to strangers and trying to tell them, like, I want this to be front page news. It is such an insane heater that, like, it needs to be remembered for history. And so, like, I was at the Atlanta airport, which is like the third ring of hell because there's just so many people. Like, I wanted to go and try and get on the intercom system and be like, listen to what my boy just did. Because here's where I would be concerned. If I were doing exactly what I'm doing and I'm tailing him right now, then I would be concerned.
So you have no Tommy Fleetwood?
No, I have zero action. I have made one bet in the month of August. I told you it was, I bet the Hall of Fame game last Thursday because I did the ultimate, like, dumb guy. Jim Harbaugh is in a football game and they're keeping score. And I got plus money, so I just took that. That's the only bet I've made in this whole month. I mean, to me, this is what's more impressive? Barney Stinson's perfect game or this? Because I think this is up there. Like, Barney, yes, Barney had to overcome when Lily jinxed him. But I still think this is more impressive.
The fact he didn't get fired, too, is pretty impressive.
His bookie is on a payment plan to him.
That's nice. Isn't that great? He's going to stop. That bookie's going to stop taking his bets.
Oh, one of them he had to go to a new one. Like, literally, they stopped it. He got, like, the dream is to literally get shut down by the books. So just shout out to my boy. All right, speaking of preseason, so there are a couple of moments last night that I want to discuss with you. All right, you know how the NFL is a copycat league? I've decided I'm flagging something.
Okay.
So are we all in agreement the I'm not playing guys in the preseason? Patient zero is McVay, right? He was the first guy I really remember that popularized it, like not playing his guys, resting him in the preseason, and then I feel like it became much more significant from there.
Patient zero is McVay.
I mean, guys have like, everyone's not playing every, like I never, no one's ever played every snap, but I feel like, to me, it's like load management. I don't know if load management really begins with the Spurs, but popularizing.
Like, yeah.
It's like, to me, it's the same thing. I'm curious if the Bengals, who have had a history of slow starting, and there's context that should be involved. Burrow, 1 year had appendicitis, or 1 year he's coming off the knee. The next year, I think he had appendicitis, and then last year he had the wrist. So there is context for some slow starts, but they have been historically worse in September than they are the rest of the year. I think if the Bengals come out hot and it works, I think you're going to start to see this movement to play guys in the preseason again.
I did have to laugh because the offense looked so darn good and the defense just looked like they were picking up where they left off from a year ago.
All, you know what? I it was one of those ones where I was watching it and I just go, I cannot wait to lose so much money on the Bengals again. Like, if you, because you watched quarterback this year, right?
Yep.
It was just like a, it was a, anytime Burrow was on the screen, it was just like a montage of every horrible bet that I had last year. Because my wife at one point famously yelled, like in the middle of watching a game, stop betting on the Bengals. But Joe, like it really was, because he looked insane. And granted, preseason, whatever. But also, Burrow was insane last year.
Oh, Burrow was so good. I got a text last night from a buddy of mine who's, I would classify as a pretty square better.
Okay.
But he works in our field. And I've taught him some ways, at least from a college football betting standpoint. But he texts me and he goes, hey, man, I think Joe Burrow might be kind of a off the radar. And I'm like, no, he's not really off the radar. Look at a MVP. And I was like, the problem is, are the Bengals going to win enough? Like, he probably should have won MVP last year with his numbers, but they didn't win enough. They make the playoffs. Like, I guess the question would be this. What does Joe Burrow have to, what does the Bengals record have to be in order for Burrow to win MVP?
Okay, so I think let's start with this premise. Did Josh Allen win last year because of Lamar fatigue?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I think it helped. I'm not going to besmirch Allen, but I think
there was, to me, I felt like it.
Because statistically speaking, correct me if I'm wrong, Lamar's numbers were better last year than they were the previous year when he won the MVP.
Yes, but also they were the number one seed that year.
Right.
So, like, this is the other thing that I think didn't help Lamar. The fact that the Bills won, I think, two more games. Like, or I think they'd won two more, and then maybe, like, in week 18, it flipped. Well,
and Allen had, I'm trying to go back without thinking off top, like, he had the moment against the Chiefs in the regular season.
Well, he had a couple.
He had the dive into the end zone in the snow.
He had the snow, the hook and ladder in the snow.
Yep.
Against the Niners on Sunday Night Football, the run against the Chiefs. And then also, it's like, his team closed the season playing better football. Like that, to me, like that was a big part. So I feel like normally the MVP goes to, I don't think it has to be the team that has the best record, but I think you have to be a number one seed in your conference and the quarterback on the best team in one particular conference. So the question is, did last year show some growth, or are we just going to, or was last year an outlier because there's a little bit of fatigue, new guy that probably had deserved to be, like, It was kind of like the Josh Allen Lifetime Achievement Award. So the question is that the outlier? Because if so...
Well, also Patrick Mahomes had like 14 interceptions in the regular season last year, didn't he?
That was 2 years ago. But Mahomes was just dinking and dunking. Mahomes' numbers were very pedestrian last... But by Patrick Mahomes' standards, like that's kind of the other thing. I feel like Mahomes is a lot like me for Tarantino movies where... I really just compare Tarantino movies to his own movies. You know what I mean? Like, he's so far like ahead of everyone else, in my opinion. It's like that I just compare it to his own work. And I feel like Mahomes is the same thing. It's like, if he's not having, like, by his year, like, his standards, a remarkable year, like, we just kind of be like, eh, he's not having that good of a year. And then you, like, look at it, it's like, he's still 5,000 yards. He still had a bunch of touchdowns. But his numbers were decidedly worse than the other two.
So Joe Burrow led the league in passing yards, passing touchdowns, and I'm checking right now, he was third in QBR behind Lamar and Josh Allen.
Right.
Lamar had 41 touchdown passes to 4 picks a year ago, and Josh Allen had 28 to 6.
I want to say, do you have the rush? I want to say Josh wound up with more rushing touchdowns.
Josh, last year, he ended up with, on the ground, he had 531 yards and 12 rushing touchdowns last year. He actually had more rushing touchdowns 2 years ago. Lamar, last year, on the ground, had 915 yards but only 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the weird thing was like, when you started to do total touchdowns, the numbers were more similar, right? Because what'd you say? It was 28 and 12, so that's 40, and then 41. It was like 46 to 40. It was like a negligible difference.
Looking at this, man, Lamar Jackson should have won MVP last year.
I still contend, though. I actually think, though, I think Allen was the better player.
I think Lamar got dinged because he got Derrick Henry.
No, I really think Lamar got dinged because they kind of limped home. Like, Allen's team was playing better football at the end. I also contend it's better for Lamar that he didn't win. I don't think you... I think if he wins again, he is going to fight Mr. Regular Season big time.
I mean, the Ravens won their last 4 games just bludgeoning teams. They lost to the Eagles, and then they had a bye week. They were 8-5.
Right, they limped home. They lost to the Eagles.
And then they beat the Giants by 3 touchdowns, beat the Steelers by 17, beat the Texans by 4 touchdowns, and beat the Browns by 25.
Oh, those were some of the worst games I've ever watched. One of those was at the Christmas Day. One of those, the Giants.
Christmas Day, they won 31-2 against the Houston Texans.
That game was one of the all time worst games. Like, that was that game. You turn it on and you're like, why are we still watching? All right, so here, so I flagged that.
Yeah.
All right, here's the other thing. If. For the Ravens-Colts game out there, I had a couple of notes. Number one, I...
Is your finger supposed to go that way?
No, probably not. I don't... I mean, I think I saw he took responsibility today, but Tim, I'm not sure Anthony Richardson actually knows what he's looking at. He turned the protection to the left, and everyone was stacked up to the right. And that's why he gets hurt. Also, I mean, I guess if I want to say the run, I'm not sure what the running back was doing because he neither chipped nor he turned his head around to be the hot route. So he was making himself like doubly not useful. But that's one of those ones where it's like, I don't know how long that lasts.
Chase Daniel quickly put out a video yesterday essentially saying the same thing that you did, saying that this is 100% on Richardson and just get the ball out to your running back in the flat and don't get obliterated.
Especially in a preseason game.
Jeez.
Okay.
I mean, Ajabo just, I mean, his eyes must have looked like saucers when he was sprinting towards Richardson. Oh my God. He just,
I mean, that's like the classic, like you, it's almost like you can't believe you're that free. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why did they forget? Like, are they a player short? Okay, so also get ready, y'all. The Daniel Jones Experience. I think Daniel Jones is back, baby. All right, did you see your boy Riley Leonard's interception?
Oh, so bad.
I actually think no joke, no hyperbole. I think Riley forgot what color jerseys they were wearing. Because if you watch the play, he's in the panic because the rush is coming. And then he steps up and he's just like, he probably dropped his eyes to avoid the rush. And then he just looks for the first thing that he can find and he threw it to him. And that was unfortunately a Ravens defender. Because there was no receiver even, like there wasn't even like, oh, there could have been someone there, but he broke out and Riley threw it in. It was literally he looks up and the first guy he saw, he threw it to.
So I watched all of the game last night because I was in studio.
Sadly, I don't have an excuse, but I did too.
I don't know how Riley Leonard, who I love, and Devin Leary got drafted into the NFL. That's as bad of court. I think Devin Leary was worse than Riley Leonard last night. At least Riley Leonard had a scramble at one point. I mean, Leary was just atrocious.
I did love, though, what Leary did. Like, Leary got in there, and he was like, screw it. I'm going deep every pass. Like, it was just like, it was the Rex Grossman. It was F it. I'm going deep.
Except Rex Grossman would complete a pass every once in a while.
He did hit. He threw one nice one. And then there was another one where his receiver's fault. But, yeah. No, he was like.
He went 3 of 12.
Yeah, but the average depth of target was like 24 yards. Dude was winging it.
I just love the fact. This was the ultimate preseason game. The Ravens won 24-16. Their quarterbacks went a combined 5 of 16 for 2 picks, no touchdowns, and were sacked twice.
Now, despite all of that entertaining me, I did not think that was the moment of that game. I thought the moment of that game was 24-16, as Tim mentioned. The Colts have had their drive to try and go and tie. By the way, we're doing ties again, right? Yeah, because we had one in the Raiders game, right?
Yeah, the Raiders played for a tie.
Because I was like, what is the protocol? Like, if we did, I was like, you can't go for two there. Like, you just have to kick the extra point, lose by one. Like, you can't go. Like, you cannot have that thing get overtime. We quickly figured out what the answer would have been because after the Colts turn it over and the Ravens get the ball back on the short side of the 2-minute warning, minute 36 left. They call dive play left, and Shane Steichen calls a timeout, and the cameras pan to John Harbaugh, and he had the what are you doing, man look that was laugh out loud funny to me.
So I think they had pulled away from this game on NFL Network to watch Vegas.
They were doing
Seattle.
The weird going back and forth, but yes, they showed us the Seattle kickoff and like the first drive for the Raiders, maybe.
All right, so a couple things from this game. Keaton Mitchell's fun. Really like watching him. I don't know if he's going to be a preseason Colt hero, but I do think he legitimately fits into that offense as a scat back, kind of change of pace there from Derrick Henry. So I liked what I saw from him. He was explosive in that game. I don't know if LaJonte Wester will ever have another punt return for a touchdown in his NFL career, but it feels like that dude could be special from a special teams standpoint.
Special players.
And lastly, Baltimore could have a kicking problem.
Oh, I think they definitely do.
Tyler Loop missed a, 45-yarder?
On top of that, like, the other... Did you feel good about... Did you think any kick looked rock solid?
No. I mean, and look, I'm not bagging on them for their decision to get rid of the scumbag. I have no problems with that. And let's be honest, Justin Tucker was not very good
of last year. What I would like to know is if Tucker did not have a drop in form, is he still on the team and just suspended for 10 games? I think him being legitimately not good last year made their decision a lot easier.
But how long have we just said Baltimore has the secret weapon that they can throw out there? And for a team that is going to be a Super Bowl contender, they don't have the cheat code at the kicking position anymore. So something just to tuck away in the back of your mind. Also, can we pump the brakes on Tanner McKee? Holy smokes.
I'm glad you brought that up. Guys, this is nothing new for you preseason novices. In the last three preseasons, Tanner McKee, second in the NFL in completions with 93. He is 93 of 53, and he has receivers with 14 drops, which obviously leads the league. Second in passing yards, 999. He's a yard short of 1,000. He's only thrown one pick, three touchdowns. His total value, I'm trying to remember, air net yards per attempt, he is third. Guy is a preseason, like, machine.
Let's just, good for him, but we've had these before, and then they get their opportunity to start, and they don't do
Zach Wilson anything. Always looked good in the preseason.
Like, I saw Benjamin Solak, who I like. I know him a little bit. I don't know if he was trying to get a rise out of people, but he said there would be a camp battle in Atlanta, Miami, Minnesota, Tennessee, Carolina, Pittsburgh, Seattle, and Las Vegas with Tanner McKee if he was on the roster.
None of that is true. I think about this. The Giants are about to start Russell Wilson, and I'm not excited to watch my team. I would rather play Russell Wilson than Tanner McKee. Tanner, you know what Tanner is? Tanner's Colt McCoy. Like, he knows what he's doing. He knows what to do with the football. He's more athletic than you think. And in the preseason, that works. But he just doesn't have a good enough arm. Like, in the end, there's nobody on the field fast enough, skilled enough to underbreak that. But in a regular season game, when everyone is just blitzing and they're coming after him, and then the DB, like, you have the best DBs on the field, like, he would get exposed.
Of course.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk some college football. We'll do that with Neil McCready next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Neil!
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should, too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
McCready is now the publisher of the Ole Miss team site at 24/7 Sports. He's got a new promo code for you. Neil gets you 75 for 75% off your first year. He's also doing like 87 different podcasts. The Blue Sky Live podcast available each and every weekday mornings, usually streaming on the MPW Digital YouTube show. He joins me now, my old boss, Neil. The best team in the SEC is whom?
The best team in the SEC
is who, I should say.
I know the sexy answer is Texas. I'm not sure I buy it. I'm pretty high on LSU, and I'm increasingly high on Alabama. So I'll go one of those two.
Are we overlooking Georgia? Because I kind of feel the same way, but I don't know why. I think it's just because I don't think Stockton's that good.
I think that's it for me. Is nothing against Gunnar Stockton. I'm sure he's a great kid. He's earned his chance, but I wasn't blown away by him late last season. And look, I thought Georgia showed some signs of vulnerability last year that you've not seen in previous seasons. They were not the dominant. They were still very, very good, but they were not the dominant program they've been 3, 4, 5 years before that.
Talking with Neil McCready. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at Neil McCready. All right, how much concern would you have, though? We got word today that Garrett Nussmeier's dealing with, George, help me out, the knee tendons.
Patellar tendonitis.
Patella tendonitis.
How much concern should that be?
Probably not much. I mean, I would imagine that if you were to do a survey of all athletes who play the sport for a number of years, they all have some degree of tendonitis in knees or ankles or elbows or shoulders or something. I mean, you know, this is media overreaction in April to a player missing a practice.
August, come on.
Yeah, August. This is, you know, rumors went crazy and everyone ran with this. And LSU's opening up their entire practice tomorrow and he's going to practice. So, you know, I almost think they had a little fun with it, with the media for a day, some of the social media stuff. If that was a serious injury, you'd see more concern out of them.
You know, Neil, when you look at the Big Ten and the SEC, I think two of the more fascinating teams this year, and curious if they're overhyped, Illinois for Big Ten, and then South Carolina. You see Lenore Sellers be voted number one or first team all SEC. Are you buying in on this South Carolina hype that they are a top 15 team heading into this year?
So this is where it's interesting in college football now. Is in years past, my answer would have been, well, they just lost so much off of their defense. There's no way they've replaced that much defense. But in the transfer portal era, hell, maybe they did. I don't know. I mean, I think Sellers is really good. The end of last season, he was as fun of a quarterback to watch in the country. Maybe not, you know, an elite pro-style guy, but he was fun to watch. He made plays. But they lost a lot off that defense. They returned a couple of really good players, but they lost elite players on all three levels. I'm inclined to sell the South Carolina stock a little bit. Doesn't mean I think they're going to be bad or anything like that. I'm just not sure that I by South Carolina as a real playoff contender out of the SEC. And I don't know about Illinois. I like Luke Altmyer. I covered him when he was at Ole Miss. He's a great guy. I hope he does well, but I don't know enough about that team or his schedule to know whether I buy their stock or not.
How high are you on the team you cover?
Kind of up in the air, Jeffrey, to be honest. I'm, you know, if you just watch the part that we get to watch, which is a lot of routes on air, it's a lot of
how do they look stretching?
They're a limber team. So
okay.
Limber.
Very flexible. That's good.
You know, they're athletic. Look, Simmons is he's an elite athlete. I get the comparison to Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, I don't know whether he's that player or not. I have no idea. But I understand where the comparisons come from. The ball comes out of his hand. It looks pretty when it does.
And let's be real. And he's left-handed and he wears 13.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a big, athletic kid, and he can make the throws. He can spin it. He's got touch on his deep ball. You know, what kind of how does he respond to adversity when it happens? How does he respond when he does the dumb thing that every young quarterback is going to do, where you get tricked by one of these defensive coordinators and you throw the ball into traffic and it gets intercepted, and now you've got to come back and, you know, you got to eliminate that from your mind and go again. I don't know. Some guys take longer to adjust to that than others. I mean, if you go back and look at Jackson Dart's first year at Ole Miss, there were some times that he got a little turnover happy and had a hard time kind of snapping out of it. And then
and think about Matt's first year with Lane was kind of the same thing. Like, Matt had some really big games, but was the Arkansas game. He had like 7 turnovers. He had the LSU game was a bunch of rain, and I know it was a weird year, but he was turnover prone his first year with Lane.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, look, I think Austin's going to be a better quarterback than Matt.
Yeah.
Whether he can be a better quarterback than Jackson remains to be seen. I thought Jackson was a really good quarterback for this year. You know, their receiver group is really talented. They, I think, have a chance to be better up front. They better be, because they weren't very good up front last year. They lose, it's a South Carolina conversation, right? They lose so much off their defense that if this were a typical year, you'd go, oh, it's just too much to lose. There's no way they replace all that. But Lane has proven to be a guy that knows how to work the portal. They know what they're looking for in the portal. They're very disciplined in how they shop the portal, and they've done really, really well with the portal. So I'm not ready to count Ole Miss out as a team that could contend. And then further, this is looking way ahead, but their schedule's pretty friendly. If they could find a way to get through the month of September undefeated, I mean, there's a real path for them, you know, as a 2-loss team to get to the college football playoff. Now, that includes obviously having to beat LSU at home. That includes beating Florida and South Carolina at home. But there's a world where they just take care of business inside the state of Mississippi. They can still lose to Oklahoma, lose to Georgia, and make the playoff.
I think the other thing, you've also got, you've got contacts and you've got inside the state of Alabama. Why do you think Kalen DeBoer, why is he being a little cagey about saying Ty Simpson's his guy?
Oh, I mean, my guess would be because he's just trying to keep everybody else in that room motivated and going. It is modern college football, man. These kids have agents around them. The parents and coaches and stuff, everybody's in their ears. You just don't want someone to get, you know, disappointed before the start of class and go jump into the portal and leave your team, and suddenly you have a massive void in that room. That's my guess. I don't know that for sure. I'll tell you that people around that program are pretty high on Ty Simpson. They think that he's going to, if he can just kind of get off to a good start, then he's going to find a groove pretty quickly and be a very good quarterback for them. And then, you know, talking to people around that program, they think that defense there is going to be really strong.
You mentioned schedule and the favorable schedule for Ole Miss out of the chute. You know, it's funny because you look at a handful of teams in the murderer's row that they have to go through. Florida, one of the most challenging schedules once again in the country this year. I look at Missouri, Neil, and I look at no road game until October 18th. You get Alabama at home. You get Mississippi State at home. So it does look like a favorable schedule. The big question, obviously, is what is Bo Prabula going to be at the quarterback position as they went out in the portal and grabbed him? But they went out and grabbed a bunch of other pieces. I don't know if this is a team with playoff hopes and dreams, but, I mean, 8-9 wins seems pretty doable when you look at the schedule and the talent that's potentially on that roster for Mizzou and the schedule and the way it shakes out.
I completely agree. I don't know why year after year after year we don't give the credit Eli Drinkwitz for the job that he's done in Columbia. If you look at the numbers, it's very similar to what Lane Kiffin's done at Ole Miss. And I don't mean that as a knock on Lane at all. I just mean the two programs have been awfully similar. One gets the benefit of the doubt right now, Ole Miss, and one kind of doesn't, Missouri. Now, they've had unlike Ole Miss, Missouri's had some losses that were just, you know, brutal. Like they got blown out by A&M, stuff like that. Lane hasn't had those kinds of losses, with the exception of the loss to Georgia. You know, Georgia was the country at that point. But look, I think your point's a good one. And, you know, Pergola is a good quarterback in Pitt State, but he didn't win the job. He's competing for the job at Mizzou. To this point, they haven't come out and just named him the guy. But they've worked the portal well. They got Ahmad Hardy out of ULM, who was a running back with kind of everybody recruited. I think they like their team on defense. They lost a lot of weapons, but you're right. I mean, they've been very good at home, and they get to play at home for a while. And sometimes if you get some momentum going, you can be a little more dangerous late. And I think Missouri's a candidate for that. I don't think they're a playoff team, any stretch of the imagination. But if you told me that they had some input on who does and who doesn't make the playoff out of the SEC, I'd buy that completely.
Which team do you think in the league has the widest range of outcomes?
Florida, just because of its schedule.
Yeah.
You know, Florida can be a really good team and go 8-4. I mean, they can be an elite team and go 8-4. The schedule's just so brutal. I think Ole Miss has a lot of variance. I think there's a path for Ole Miss to 11-1. I think there's a path for Ole Miss to 7-5. LSU, a lot of variance. There's a world where LSU wins the national title, and there's a world where defensively they're just not good enough to get past 8 wins. I think it's a league full of areas. And then there's the one that I refuse to do this. So I'm doing this for the sake of your show. I will not do this on my podcast.
For the record, A&M. Neil and I have taken the Texas A&M pledge together. If we're wrong, what do we have? We have to wear a jersey which game?
We have to wear a jersey for an entire week in November, each of us on our respective shows.
But we have taken the pledge.
Yes, but I'm not doing this. I'm not drinking that drug, that Kool-Aid. Nope. I'm not. You can put it in front of me. And you can tell me how good it tastes, and I'm not going to drink it. I drank it 3 years in a row, and it's sweet, sweet Kool-Aid, and it tastes so good at the beginning, and by the end, you're so sick to your stomach. And I've learned my lesson, and if this is the year that it turns out to be a fine wine, then I just miss out, and I'll wear my jersey for a week.
What about Auburn?
Yeah, I just feel so sorry for some of those young men in the room that aren't going to get to experience the full Auburn experience.
Yeah.
I say that, I can almost feel the tears welling in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a grandchild, but if I did, I would want my grandchild to be on camera in that moment as well if possible.
Yeah, I also would like for my grandchild to, like, maybe rehearse a funeral. I think that builds character. I think that helps win games.
Yeah. When is your stage funeral? Is it coming up soon?
Yeah, no, we do it. Tim and I are going to do one right before week one. Like it's the way we kick off. We'll do like on the Thursday that week one opens because Tim's got to come back from Hawaii for week zero. But we'll do. Good. We're going to do that Thursday, I think.
All right, are you going to attend your own funeral?
I'm going to throw my own funeral. But I got a better question, Neil. What are your core values?
I mean, look, here's the thing about Auburn, Jeffrey. That first 3 weeks or so.
I know.
I mean, there's a world, and it's a very realistic world, where that team loses at Baylor, loses at Oklahoma, and on September the 20th, it's done. It's done. And, you know, he hasn't gotten any traction there yet. They're upset with him about playing too much golf and all that stuff.
By the way, I think he's playing less golf there than he did in Oxford.
His mistake is entering the – I mean, I'm not a golfer. No one puts a gun to your head at the course and makes you enter your
well,
door.
I'm not kidding, Neil. Allegedly, he also has a burner gin account.
Nothing surprises me.
He should have had one.
If they get off to a good start, they've got some talent. That wide receiver room of theirs is very good. But there's a lot of pressure on Jackson Arnold to, you know, take that program to another place. And their schedule, it's very hard at the beginning. Now, it does get easier late, but he hasn't beaten Georgia yet. He hasn't beaten Alabama yet. And in a world where he's not a playoff contender late, and he loses those two games, especially if one or both of Georgia and Alabama are, in the playoffs, I think he would have a hard time surviving that and getting another year at Auburn.
Neil, you're great to join us. I know you're on the road heading to see your family, so safe travels, my man. Thank you for doing this.
All right. See you, Jeffrey. Good talking to you.
That is Neil McCready. Again, now the new code, because he has moved over to 24/7 Sports. Neil gets you 75% off your first year over at Rebels 247. Who do you think, who has the highest variance in the league?
I think it might be Auburn. I really do, because there are some people out there that I respect that think they will win week one against Baylor and that they could make some noise. But then there's the flip side, what Neil pointed out, which is they very well could lose week one. I mean, that is a true pick'em game between Baylor and Auburn. And I think there is a very high possibility that they are a complete disaster and fall apart when you have Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia, bang, bang, bang. And then where are you at from a mental standpoint when you play Missouri? But if they beat Baylor, they're 3-0 going into an Oklahoma game. You just talked about Texas A&M and the questions that we have. Is it impossible to see Auburn being 5-0?
No,
going into their bye week against Georgia?
Honestly, I was thinking about this. And that's the great thing, is we're going to find out. I do wonder, though, if you and I are going to come back after week one and realize there's a difference between a well-funded SEC roster and a well-funded Big 12 roster.
So I'll just say this. A buddy of mine that I deem a pretty sharp guy told me that he bet Auburn yesterday in the week one opener. Felt like the number had come down too much. Now, I'll also say, a professional handicapper, Paul Stone, was on my podcast over the summer, and he loved Baylor in that opener plus the points. So there are a lot of differing opinions for that Friday night game in Waco. But to your question, who has the most variance, I think Auburn certainly is there, and I think Oklahoma is there. Like, Oklahoma, how big is that game week two for both Michigan and Oklahoma? I look at both.
Well, then the funny thing is, I think, isn't the next week Auburn-Oklahoma?
2 weeks later. They have the weirdest game, one of the weirdest games of the season, as they have to travel to Temple.
There's going
to
be more maroon wearing for Oklahoma than there will be in Philly.
Oh,
for Temple.
No doubt. But I look
but
at two,
Temple Temple should do the thing where they close off the middle and upper decks at the link and take the picture, because it will look like at that point that they have Temple fans.
Sure.
They'll be wearing the same color.
But what if Oklahoma goes out and smokes Michigan? Week two, prime time on ABC.
I mean,
or what happens if the flip side happens and a team like Michigan, who had no pulse at the quarterback position a year ago, but still beat the national champion and Alabama. And let's not forget, people will say, oh, it was a bowl game. No. Alabama wanted to win that bowl game.
No, Alabama was the team that was playing guys.
Yes. Michigan was the opt-out team, and they won. So
I told you, I did, in fairness, tell everyone to take Michigan. When I think I got, because I think that line jumped out to like 17. I think I got 10 points of closing line value. Never had that in my life. And I knew, it's like, there's no way I'm ever going to win.
I've never had a bet in my life have worse closing line value, because I bet Michigan on open.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this was a... Because I will say this. I pride myself on being pretty good at reading bowl game situations. And more often than not, I feel like I'm in a good situation. Not that one. And somehow, some way, they won the game outright. Didn't matter what number you got.
I wanted to see...
So what's your answer? So I would say Auburn and Oklahoma are the two for me that I think both could be fighting for a playoff berth, but both at the end of September, you could say, what were we even thinking? Like Oklahoma, think about this. You have Michigan in the non-con. You play Auburn in September. Your month of October is Red River against Texas, at South Carolina, home to Ole Miss, and then you wrap up the season at Tennessee, at Bama, Missouri, and LSU. After you play Kent State, there's no easy game on that schedule. But if they're as good as people anticipate them to be with a new offensive coordinator and John Mateer and Jaden Ott coming in and all the other transfer portal additions, I think Oklahoma could be a playoff contending team, but the schedule could potentially chew them up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.